Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. Hey everyone, it is Friday, September 4th. Quick thing before we get into today's story. If there's ever a topic you want me to dig into, there's a feedback option right there in the Higher IQ website. And if you're a friend of mine and you have my number, feel free to text me as well. It's actually how I got today's episode, because my dad texted me last night about something he had just read, and I thought it was interesting enough, so I dropped all the other topics we were going to cover and went down this rabbit hole myself. Every mobile phone call that you've ever made was actually compressed before it left your phone. Your voice doesn't travel. A mathematical description of your voice is the thing that actually travels, and the phone at the other end rebuilds it. The man who figured out how to do this was born in Kanpur, India, and his name is Bishnu Atal. He died 2 weeks ago on August 19th at the age of 93, and almost nobody noticed or even talked about it. Okay, let's get into this one. The problem that Bishnu worked on sounds dull until you understand what it prevents. Sending a voice as raw sound uses an enormous amount of bandwidth. When mobile phones started spreading in the 1980s, the networks began to fill up, but there's only so much radio spectrum. You can't manufacture more of it. Without compression, mobile telephones would have just stayed a luxury for a tiny number of people. There simply would not have been enough room in the air for everybody. I mean, think about this for a second. What made mobile phones accessible to billions of people was not cheaper hardware or better batteries. Those definitely helped, but the fundamental constraint was physics. Every call occupies a slice of the electromagnetic spectrum, and that slice is finite and shared. The only way to fit more calls into the same slice is to make each call smaller, right? I mean, it's pretty logical. And someone had to figure out how to shrink a human voice without destroying it. At the time that Bishnu Atal started working on this in the mid-1960s, the idea of carrying a phone in your pocket was science fiction. Bell Labs, where he worked, was the most productive research laboratory in the world. It had already produced the transistor, the laser, the solar cell, and the Unix operating system. Atal walked into that building in 1961 and stayed there for 35 years. Love the loyalty. His assignment was simple to describe, but brutally hard to solve. It was to take a human voice and compress it so tightly that you can send it through a straw. Between 1966 and 1970, Atal developed something called the Linear Predictive Coding, or LPC. The idea is quite elegant. Human speech is highly predictable. The sound that I'm making right now, or you might be making right now, is closely related to the sound that you made a fraction of a second ago, because it's produced by the same throat and mouth shape. Your vocal tract is a physical system that changes slowly. It doesn't jump randomly from one sound to the next. So instead of recording and sending the actual sound wave of your voice, which takes a lot of data, LPC sends something much smaller, a description of how your mouth and throat were shaped at the instant to make that sound. Think of your vocal tract, your throat, tongue, and lips as a tube whose shape changes constantly as you talk. That shape is what turns your breath into specific sounds. LPC captures a handful of numbers that describe that shape, plus a couple of extra details, like whether your vocal cords were buzzing to make a sound like ah, or just letting air hiss through a sound like s, and roughly how high or low your pitch was. And that's pretty much it, a few numbers that are sent many times per second. The phone on the other end doesn't receive your voice at all. It receives that tiny list of numbers and then uses them to rebuild the sound itself. The same way that you could construct a song if someone just handed you a sheet of music instead of an audio recording. It's not playing back to you what you said, it's regenerating it from instructions. Atal's early version worked at just 2400 bits per second. To give you a sense of how small that is, uncompressed CD quality audio is about 1.4 million bits per second. Atal's system was compressing the signal by a factor of nearly 600. The American military adopted it for secure telephones during the Cold War, and it worked. You could understand the words, but it didn't sound like a person. It was intelligible and slightly robotic. It was obvious that you were talking to a machine, but that was useful for the military. And as I'm sure you can assume now, even as you use AI that sounds very robotic, nobody else wanted that. And Atal knew that too, so he spent the next 15 years trying to fix it. In 1985, working with a German physicist named Manfred Schroeder, Atal published a method called code-excited linear prediction, or CELP. The CELP approach added a crucial piece. It stored a codebook of typical excitation signals, thousands of tiny waveforms that represent different ways the human voice can sound. For each short segment of speech, the encoder searches through that codebook, finds the waveform that produces the closest match to the original, and sends only the index number. The decoder looks up the same waveform from the same codebook and uses it to reconstruct natural-sounding speech. What Atal had essentially done was build a catalog of the building blocks of human speech and then figure out how to describe any voice using only references to that catalog. The result was compression ratios that seemed impossible, combined with voice quality that sounded like a real person. You actually couldn't tell the compressed voice from the original. And just so you know, this is the compression method inside practically every digital cellular standard in the world. When you make a phone call today, CELP or one of its direct descendants is almost certainly compressing your voice before it leaves your device. The method also enabled wireless networks in developing countries that lacked cable infrastructure. It was amazing. You didn't need to lay copper across a continent when you could fit so many calls into such little spectrum. Atal holds 16 American patents and many international ones. This guy just kept on racking up the awards. The National Academy of Engineering elected him in 1987, Bell Labs made him a fellow in 1994, and in 2003, the Franklin Institute gave him the Benjamin Franklin Medal in Electrical Engineering. The citation that they wrote was one sentence: "The next time you make a call on your cell phone, think of Bishnu Atal." So let's close this one out. As I just said, the Franklin Institute said that everybody should think of Bishnu Atal when they make their next call, but almost nobody does. I mean, honestly, ask yourself, did you know this name before I mentioned it? I mean, when you think of the telephone, you probably just think of Alexander Graham Bell, right? Well, I hope this episode changes that, because Bishnu Atal was born in Kanpur, took a physics degree at the University of Lucknow at 19, got a diploma at the Indian Institute of Science in Bangalore. By the way, I think that's where my dad went to school, but don't quote me on that. He also taught acoustics there for 3 years, and then flew to New Jersey and spent the next 35 years solving a problem that determined whether mobile phones would be for the next few or for everyone. And the man just died a few weeks ago, on August 19th, at the age of 93. Indian news agencies didn't cover it much, but I hope after today's episode, you have some more appreciation for what he did for society, and maybe the next time that you make a call or do a FaceTime or however you communicate with people, you should think about this guy. Dad, big shout out for sending me that text, and everybody else, feel free to text me or post your comments and thoughts on Spotify, or you can leave feedback directly in the app. Stay informed, stay curious, have a great long weekend, and we'll see you tomorrow.